maybe you've said this before. Okay, now I see it. You know, the light comes on. Now you see something that you never saw before, something or an idea or a concept. You say to yourself, now it makes sense. Now I get it. And it wasn't that you were intentionally in the dark, per se. You just never thought of it that way before. No one had ever shown you otherwise. And we've had those experiences where all of a sudden, yeah, it makes sense now. Life, its meaning, its purpose, its value can be like that. You know, that question, you know, why am I here? What is my purpose for being here? It can be like that. And all of a sudden, now I get it. Now I get it. If you were to take the three readings for today, you could even take out that insert and you could look at them. If you laid them side by side, you know, there's something that emerges from there. Something's revealed to us. And it has to do with life, its purpose, its meaning, and value. See, God sees human life and says, I have plans. You start with that reading, that lesson in Isaiah chapter 49. There's a message there, a revelation from God that is for all people, and it's to be proclaimed to the most distant corners of the earth. It's for everyone. And the message reveals what God has done for all people. If I were to kind of summarize it, it would be like this. The main point of this message is that one will come that was chosen from before he was born, before he was in the womb of his mother, before his birth. And all the prophecies pointed to the coming of that one great servant who would deliver his people. God set him apart even before his birth. And then we see how it all plays out. You have Jesus, the Son of God, was born in time of a woman. And this servant became the reason God had chosen his people, Israel. The Messiah would come from the descendants of Abraham. And God's chosen people existed to be the nation from which the Messiah for all humanity would come. So the Messiah set aside his glorious power and majesty in order to be a servant. And he became a servant even unto death. He came to redeem, to buy back those held captive by sin and death. And through the servant, God declared that all the world was holy and righteous, and remove all that separates sinners from his holiness and therefore his presence. He came to deal with all of that. And God's plan was to be fulfilled through people. There's an interesting statement there in that Isaiah passage. It says, the Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. It's interesting when you look at the accounts there in the Gospels, both Mary and Joseph heard the same kind of similar words. You're going to have a child, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. So the scope of the Savior's mission is universal. He will be a light for the Gentiles and bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And ultimately, we are, in a sense, descendants from those people from afar. We are people who heard the message that had gone out. What makes that possible? People who bring or share the message. So God's plan was to bring salvation through a person who was to be born. There's a passage Paul wrote to Timothy. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'd read over it numerous times, and it was thought, well, I don't want to say it was a weird passage. It just had an interesting sound to it as you read it, and I never really looked into really understanding what it truly meant. And then I said, oh, that makes total sense. Now, this is the verse. But women will be saved through childbearing. Interesting sounding thing. Women will be saved through childbearing. But ultimately what that means is that salvation is provided for all women by the birth of a child. And using women here because it's a reference back to Eve. So the child was Jesus, who would defeat Satan on behalf of all women. It says, saved through childbearing. So through faith in the child Jesus, women are saved. But ultimately, all are saved because of a baby that is born through childbirth. Now, the one thing is true is that sometimes things in this world and on this earth level here point to things even greater in another world. So even though Jesus fulfills this, all children, in a sense, to be born or that have been born can be seen as ones through whom God can bring his gift of salvation to others. When God spoke that promise to Eve and to Adam after the fall, it was almost like the promise was going to come through a child. And so when someone became pregnant or was going to have a child, maybe that's the child, maybe that's the one. And so it was looked for. Their answer would come through a child being born, through childbearing. So here's an interesting teaching that you can find throughout Scripture. It's an interesting truth. God begins seeing plans for people before they are born. We see it in numerous passages. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. You'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Again, Matthew and Luke, in their Gospels, a son will be born. Give him the name when he's born. Give him the name Jesus, because he will be the Savior. Jeremiah, as God called him to be a prophet, said this in Jeremiah 1:5. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were born. Paul reflects on his life as an apostle. And in Galatians 1:15 and 16, he says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. God sees things from a different perspective. You see, God looks at all human life with potential. So before a child is even born, the person is seen as someone who could be used in a special way to reflect God's light and life and bring the message of God to others. God has plans for you and for others too. So all human life should be seen as having inherent value, purpose, meaning. And how do we find this out? Is because God reveals or makes it known. We begin to see things from his perspective, from his vantage point as he sees life and what it can be. I've been doing a lot of research recently too, and when you look at some of the hard research that's been done in a sociological perspective, the population, and again in a sociological type of way, the population that is the least religious, or we'd call the nuns, no religious affiliation, have the least number of children by and large, have completely maybe different views of family and marriage and kids and all sorts of things. It plays out demographically, it plays out sociologically. And it's not just a Christian thing, but you look at the people who are more strong adherence to the religion, to faith, to belief, to God. Again, it's not just a Christian thing. Tend to have larger families, more kids, have a different view of marriage, and all sorts of things. It plays out. Again, we start seeing things from God's perspective. Life matters. Humans are seen differently. I like this particular picture because of the verse, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He sees us differently with potential. Even before we're born, we're seeing this is someone who can. It's through people. We see the plan being fulfilled in a very special way throughout the entire first chapter of John. John the Baptist pointed, hey, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He pointed people to Jesus. And then in the come and see statements, Andrew is one of the first people Jesus meets when he begins his ministry. Andrew then says to himself, my brother's got to meet this guy, Jesus. And he brings his brother Simon to meet Jesus. And Jesus not only saw Simon who he was, but what he could and would become. That's why he gave him a new name. And by giving him that new name, Peter, which means rock, Jesus introduced a change in character to him. Same for us, our new name, child of God. God has a way of looking into us and seeing what we can become as he begins his work in us. Jesus sees us and gives us a new name in baptism. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. And as that verse said, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He'll continue to do that great work. In the New Testament lesson for today, God helped Paul to see the potential in the city of Corinth. And because of their location, their wealth, their demographics, it would be the perfect place to establish and build a church, because the city definitely needed a savior. And God wanted those new believers to reach their city with the gospel. And even though he knew all about their problems and all of their imperfections, God knew what could happen through them. He challenged them. And as our passage shows in that first chapter of 1 Corinthians, he began by again reminding them of their identity in Christ. This is who you are, and this is how I can work through you as my people. God wanted to use them as a part of his plan to reach the world. See, God has plans for us and for others too. Peter's life would never be the same because his brother said, hey, there's this man Jesus, you got to meet him. Later on, we come upon a person named Nathanael. Nathanael's life was never the same because his friend Philip said, hey, there's this man you got to meet, his name is Jesus, he's from Nazareth. His response was, whatever of any significance came out of that place. Didn't argue, he just said, just come and see, just come and meet this person. Come and see someone who knows your potential, who knows who you are, who can lead you to heaven. See, all those in Scripture who saw themselves as being called while still in their mother's womb would later be used to say, may I introduce you to Jesus? Every single one of you here today, every one of you, are here because a person invited you, brought you, taught you, or shared with you Jesus Christ. Without exception, someone along the way was used by God to introduce, share, bring, invite, whatever it is. Yeah, God has plans for us and for others too. I like this particular picture here because it's from the Joining Jesus ministry. But this is how it really just begins each and every day. Start your day, new perspective on things. Hey, Jesus, what are you up to today? And it's just saying, you know what? I just want to be a part of that. We understand our value, our purpose, our meaning, who we are as followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, that person needs to be listened to. That person needs to be encouraged. That person could use some help with whatever it is. And you come alongside and you just join in what Jesus is already doing. Is that simple? Yeah. And you never know where the conversations could go or where the words can go or where the actions could take you. It begins there. But again, it's a frame of reference. It's a way of looking at life. It's a way of just perceiving, oh, that's what life is all about. That's the purpose. That was the plan. That's what God said as he looked at me before I was even born, how I could use this person. So that's kind of my prayer for all of us this week. I pray that this week we would see the purpose for which we were born. The purpose for which we were born from God's perspective is that we could just bring some light and some life to this world and be about what God is doing. That's really, really, really good news. And how God sees us and what his plans are for us as we join him. That really recognizes life for what it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life. And even at creation, when you breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he was animated, he came to life and being. God, breathe life again into us today in a very fresh way. Help us to see what you have called us to be about, what our value, our meaning, and purpose is. And God, may that be something that we can just share with the people around us. And God, it's something that's revealed by you. And so as we seek to find people that we can share you with, God, that can change hearts, that can change lives, that can change the direction and the course of so many things. People just seeing what it's all about. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of life. May we always hold it as sacred, esteem it highly, value it, protect it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Use us this week in special ways. In Jesus' name, amen.